This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the morning shift, and Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, they've parted ways. And now they have also released Devontae Adams. So this from ESPN, 3 weeks after Aaron Rodgers, you know, was let go by the Jets. Now here we are with Adams. And so they have given permission also to wide receiver Allen Lazard, another Rodgers favorite, to seek a trade before the start of the year. The new league year, that is, on March 12th. So this is what sources told Adam Schefter. So in all likelihood, he went on to say that he, too, will end up being released as well. So what does this all mean? These guys both going to try to follow Aaron Rodgers wherever he ends up going.
I think they're going to go wherever. Devontae Adams, I think, has a little bit more. Lazard's a good player, but Devontae Adams, I think, has more in the tank and is going to have more of an option. That said, I'm not quite sure if he's just going to follow Aaron Rodgers blindly.
I mean, they basically just release the previous members of the Packers. That's what they did.
Yeah, and they had to. Look, they're clearing house. This is a reset. This is an organizational reset from front office down in New York, and it's the right moves. They've got cap hits for it. That was a terrible. That was a terrible move by the Jets to go get Devontae Adams. And it never made sense. You'd already fired your coach by the time you made the trade. I just never understood. They were chasing something that was, to me, it was never going to happen.
Yeah, well, and that's a long list of questionable moves that have been made by that franchise. I don't think it's as cut and dry as saying he's going to follow Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what if Aaron Rodgers ends up with the Las Vegas Raiders? You're telling me that Devontae Adams is going to go back to Las Vegas Raiders and be a part of that? I mean, there's a lot of caveat. There's a lot of nuance to the entire conversation. I don't think we even have a hint of what the future looks like for Aaron Rodgers. So it's tough to kind of look at it and say, well, Devontae Adams, Allen Lazard, those guys will be, you know.
Well, I think with that question is, how much power is Aaron Rodgers going to have at the next place that he goes? Because he clearly had a lot of it with the Jets before things started to go off the rails.
Well, those guys were there. Tim, I think my counterpoint to that is that, how much power does Devontae Adams have? Is he a guy that would really want to go back into the organization that shipped him off? You know, and he doesn't really have a good taste in his mouth over. He's got to grow as his own guy at some point, apart from some of these quarterbacks. He's an incredible wide receiver. I know that he wants to win at some point, and I think if given the opportunity, he's going to go to a franchise where there is, you know, an opportunity to play in the playoffs and do some things that he hasn't done throughout his career.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I think the reason that both of those guys ended up with the Jets is because Aaron Rodgers wanted them there.
Well, I think it's a good question. What I would tell you, though, is that if history has showed us anything, quarterbacks running organizations doesn't really work. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets didn't work 2 years. I know he had the injury, but it was brutal last year. It did not work. It caused a ton of people to lose their job. Russell Wilson going to Denver and getting free range on doing whatever the hell he wanted to do, having his office, his own quarterback coach, didn't work. I don't think it worked. And I think if you're out there looking, I would say, look, you can come here, Aaron, and you can run our offense, or we'll run a system. We'll work together, run something that you're comfortable with that we think can win. But we're not just going to do your offense, your core receivers that you wanted to play with. We're not doing that because it hasn't worked for you, and you were your best under Mike McCarthy, and I say a couple years under LaFleur when you ran what they wanted to
do.
And
that was my question, because you're wondering now, based on how things transpired in New York, do you want him to come in there and have that kind of say with your team? If you still think he is the quarterback that he used to be, you know, maybe you do. If you don't, then maybe things look a lot different.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't. I, I don't know how you can see what happened in New York, and then and I use the Russell Wilson thing, not to bag on him, but it's another example of how one player running a locker room didn't work, or let me rephrase that, doing whatever they wanted while everyone else followed, you know, the other 50-something players followed their own rules, the actual rules, and only it works, not in football.
I do think there are certain circumstances that it could work for. But I think that both those guys you just named are a little bit detached from most players in the locker room. I think you can make the argument. I mean, Aaron Rodgers being, you know, plus 40, trying to, you know, basically coach the team. Same thing with Russell Wilson. He doesn't strike me as a guy who is, you know, in lockstep with a lot of guys he's playing with on offense.
So let me ask you this. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. 2013, the Falcons are coming off a 2012 season, lost the NFC Championship game. They very much made. Now, this is not the only reason this season went bad. There was a ton of injuries on that team. But you made a couple of moves to kind of maybe get this team where you thought we'd get them back in the race. And you tell Tony Gonzalez he can attend a week of training camp, right? And then he had like pretty much the rest of camp off. He went home to his family. How does things like that play in the locker room where you guys are all grinding it out and then one player just essentially can do whatever they want?
Well, I think the nuance to that is he's not the quarterback, right? And you also believe – you believe in the daily work ethic of a guy like Tony Gonzalez. You know that when Tony Gonzalez shows up, he's going to hit the ground running, and he's probably going to outwork 75-80% of the people on the team once he gets there, right? And you understand that he's just at a different point in his career. He's got his zeros. He doesn't need football. I don't think anybody ever had an issue with it. You understood that Tony, once he's present, is going to outwork everybody on the team. I don't know that that's possible from a quarterback standpoint, because they're so important to every other player on the team to kind of get accustomed to what they're doing. At tight end, I can put it in another tight end. I don't remember who it was, maybe Reggie Kelly at the time or Justin Peele was gone. I don't remember who they were working with back then. But it's like you can put them in, and he can kind of resemble a little bit of what Tony's supposed to do come training camp. And so I just think there's so much more depth when it comes to quarterback position of not showing up or, you know, not doing some of the things you need to do. Minicamp, obviously, a big sticking point with the Jets last year.
I want to be real, too. I didn't do that to put you on the spot or to call out Tony. I just said it because it feels like, to answer your question, Tiff, every time a player gets some kind of an immense amount of special treatment or some kind of, you know, free reign or whatever you want to call it, the seasons always end up like just massive failures. And those are the three that come to mind first and foremost that I can think of. And I know it's not – look, the 2013 Atlanta Falcons season was not cursed because Tony Gonzalez didn't attend 2 weeks of training camp. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying every time there's an example of that, it never feels like it turns out well for the organization of the franchise.
Can I play devil's advocate for one second?
I would
make the argument that the reason it seems like that is because the teams that win, the stories become the winning and not whatever the offseason storyline was of them not showing up or somebody holding out or somebody not getting their money or somebody showing up late. Like that, those storylines are always the storylines because there is a downtrodden season. When teams win, the story becomes the winning about, oh, man, that was a crazy last-minute pass, or did you see that go route or that 60-yard explosive, or look how good the run game is and things like that. Those storylines always take a back seat when the teams come out and are actually operating on all cylinders and the coaches are doing all the right thing.
I agree with that. I also look at guys like – and I don't think – I mean, Calais was managed differently, right? So I think there's also the take on how well regarded or how well in high regards they are held throughout the league, even on a team that wasn't the Dolphins team, like everything went wrong for them last year, right?
Yeah. But Calais is a guy that they give those veteran days off during the week. And I think it's different. Julio got those too.
There's a lot of people in Atlanta have gotten those.
Yeah. It just depends on, like, I think it depends
necessary.
On how good you are. Like, if you're a Julio Jones, you probably can do whatever you want. You know, and I think the same goes for I think there are two different types of players, two different types of people, but
I think they're different management. So I think if you manage a guy's health a day here, a day there, I think if you give a guy 2 or 3 weeks off during training camp where he's in a different part of the country, it's different. I think the same with Aaron Rodgers saying, you know what, I've got a trip planned, blank off. I won't be there during
minicamp. So I think it's how they're viewed within the locker room. And I think there were some things coming out in the Jets end, but I think a lot of the guys were saying they didn't care. But didn't some other stuff come out later, if I remember correctly?
I know that was
questions that they were asked, but some of the guys that were asked did say they didn't mind Rodgers handling his business elsewhere.
And granted, I think it matters if you're a quarterback, and I also think it matters if you're sitting out practice and present, or if you're just completely not there.
And that's,
like I said, there's caveat, there's nuance, these conversations. I don't think for the most part, like when you talk about veteran days off, anybody north of 30, especially when you're Calais's age, is going to receive those. It doesn't mean that he's not part of practice or watching film or whatever else is going on. And
agreed.
So I think that, you know, I think those conversations for guys like that are different. I also think, like I said, quarterback is probably the most important position in sports when you look at the success of a football team. So I don't know. I'm with you going all the way back to the original point. If I'm a franchise, by no means am I handing the keys to Aaron Rodgers offensively and being like, you got it, bro. Like, let's roll. I don't need Nathaniel Hackett to be a part of it. I don't need Devontae. If I'm all those guys, and this is one of my original points, I'm going all my separate ways. Like I'm ready to start anew if I'm Alan Lazard, if I'm Nathaniel Hackett, if I'm anybody else involved in this conversation. I would like to get my own situation, grow as a player, grow as a coach, whatever I need to do, and seeing if I can hit that next step before, you know, the end of my career comes in that role.
Well, one thing is certain when it comes to the Jets, these moves with cutting Adams, they got major cap relief, clearing $29.9 million from this year's cap. So that's more than doubling their previous cap room. And that is going to allow them to be a bit aggressive in free agency.
Yeah, this allows Aaron Glenn. Yeah, this allows Aaron Glenn to do everything that he wanted to do and more. And I think it's the smartest. It's just what you need to do. Too often, it's not like he had a win now roster. He had a good defensive roster. Offensively, they were a mess. You know, I heard. I was at the NFL Network yesterday, or ESPN1. I was watching some of their franchise tag deadline coverage, and they were like, "Well, Sam Darnold, you know, they don't tag him, and you kind of think of spots." And they mentioned New York, and speaking of guys going home, and they were like, "Well, I don't think that'd be a move for New York." And I was sitting there, and take aside the Sam Darnold going back to the Jets part, right? Just knock that over. I would find hard-pressed that Aaron Glenn would go sign a quarterback who he pretty much ended in the end of the season. Because
book's out on this guy, and I wrote it.
The last time they played the Vikings, that's the Lions, when Glenn's at D.C., remember what they did to him? Remember they had the ball like three times in like 6 minutes inside the 10, and they had eight plays is what it was, because they went for fourth down, they got a penalty, and then they went for fourth down again, and they didn't get it. Well, it was brutal.
I think let me throw this at both of y'all. If y'all were head coaches in this cycle, do you think you'd be more likely to sign a free agent or go draft a guy? I think it's a tough question, honestly.
So what, Russell Wilson's out there, right?
There's a number of guys. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be in that conversation. There's a few free agents, Sam Darnold being one. They're obviously not franchise tagging him. I mean, Justin Fields, do you look at, Cam Ward, Shadur, Jackson Dart, whoever else may be in the draft? I think it's a really hard choice.
I think it is, too. If I had a shot to go get a Sam Darnold, I probably would take it. But that depends on what my – let's say I, was a team that needed defense, needed an edge rusher. I would go get the quarterback in free agency and then take one of the guys in the draft.
Here's the problem for me for the Jets. If you don't take a quarterback this year, then you're going to draft one. And if you want to win games, Aaron Glenn's not going there to lose games. So you have a defense that you can win with. Now you have to address a couple of situations. But you have a good defense, especially a guy that's defensive minded like Aaron Glenn. I don't expect that defense to have a huge drop off. That said, you could win 7 to 10 games if you have a quarterback that can manage what you want to do and you can find a run game. So if you don't believe in any of the quarterbacks in the draft and you do it that way, now you're trying to get higher up to get a better draft class quarterback. But then if you pick one and in a bad class and you reach for a quarterback, now you might have just put your future on the line.
And I think Aaron Glenn knows a thing or two about that, having come from Detroit where they were able to revive. Granted, he was on defense, but he was still a part of that team, still experienced that with the resurgence of Jared Goff coming in.
Yeah.
And they had quite the defense before all the, you know, injuries took place this past season. So he would know a thing or two about, you know, being able to ride with a veteran. And maybe he wants to do that again. And maybe he knows what it takes to do that. Or he decides he wants to grow his own talent.
Well, that's the thing. It's just a tough decision. It really comes down to what you think about this quarterback class. And that's going to decide what you do in free agency. And that's why the combine was important for them to meet with all of them.
By the way, I was reading this story from Rich Simini of ESPN. He did also say that with Lazard, his days being numbered, it's unlikely that a team will trade for his $11 million salary, which is non-guaranteed. So his release or trade would create another $6.6 million in cap relief for the Jets. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, free agent pass rushers is the name of the game, and we're focusing on the Falcons. Who could they go get? That's just ahead here at the top of the hour on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game.